Welcome to Barry Maguire's Tales from the Trenches, real-life stories of Canadian real estate investors. Learn more at barrymaguire.ca.
Welcome to the latest edition of Tales from the Trenches, a real estate grudge match, restrictive covenants versus city hall bylaws. This is the main event, the Real Estate Regulation League title fight in the heavyweight division. What they're fighting for is the secondary suite championship belt. The reigning and defending and undisputed champion is Restrictive Covenant, the longtime king of title encumbrances with a, wait for it folks, 100-year plus track record of steamrolling all opposition. The upcoming challenger is Calgary City Hall, sporting a brand new bylaw that allows secondary suites in areas zoned as RC1. This one's been coming for a long time, and we're down to the battle. All right, we had some fun with that. Kind of like doing that. But let's get on to it. What the heck is a restrictive covenant? They are registrations against the title. A restrictive covenant is a registration against the title. Someone has sat down and drafted up something that says, for this property, you can't have other than cedar shake shingles. Your siding has to be some shade of brown. You have to put 3 elm trees on the front yard. You can't park your RV in the driveway, and you can't run a business out of this kind of a house. Those are very common things for restrictive covenants to deal with. Restrictive covenants have been used for a long time, and they're usually used by the current property owner to prevent a use, usually in contemplation of the property being sold. So these days, developers use them when they create a brand new subdivision. So they have a chunk of land, they subdivide it into lots, and while they are the owner of all the lots, they figure out what they want their subdivision to look like, and then they register a restrictive covenant against each and every one of the lots in the subdivision. So you come along and buy a property, and the restrictive covenant is against that property, and your neighbor has the same restrictive covenant, and all the neighbors, all the lots in the subdivision have that same restrictive covenant registered against it. Every owner of a lot can enforce the restrictive covenant. The current owner and all future owners are subject to the restrictive covenant, and each and every one of them can enforce it. Restrictive covenants do not automatically expire. So if you happen to look at a title and see that a restrictive covenant was registered in 1932, it doesn't mean that you can ignore it. They don't expire, they're there, and you have to read them and pay attention to them. They are difficult to amend, and they're even harder to remove. And that comment applies especially when there are a lot of lots that are subject to the same restrictive covenant. One homeowner might not like what he's allowed to do with his property, so he might apply to the courts to modify or get rid of the restrictive covenant. All the other homeowners might love what the restrictive covenant does to protect their neighborhood. So that one homeowner will likely face a whole bunch of opposition, which is what has actually happened in this particular tale. So let's get on to the background of what we're talking about today. So, secondary suites. For the longest time, all over Alberta, and particularly in Edmonton and Calgary, you couldn't have a secondary suite, let alone a garden suite or a garage suite. Secondary suites are usually basement suites.
They just weren't allowed in most areas. However, City Hall kind of ignored any active enforcement. Somebody complained, they'd come along and inspect and maybe tell the homeowner to get rid of a secondary suite, but they didn't go knocking on doors or search them out. Edmonton has changed their bylaw so that secondary suites, including garage and garden suites, are legal now in most areas of the city. Calgary took a different approach. They have been going back and forth and up and down and all around about secondary suites forever. What happened down there is that if you wanted a secondary suite, you had to make your own individual application and ask that the bylaw be changed for you. And lots of people were doing that. So Calgary Council has gone back and forth and back and forth about whether or not they should change their bylaw like Edmonton did. Lots of opposition to it. So they made a number of attempts that didn't succeed. But finally, I believe in March of 2018, they changed the bylaw to allow secondary suites in RC1 areas. With the bylaw being changed, a homeowner in the University Heights area applied to the city for a permit to install a secondary suite, and the permit was approved. However, after folks had started construction, and these are pensioners who say they need the income from the secondary suite, after construction, the University Heights Community Association, being a very active group and keeping a close eye on what's going on in their neighborhood, discovered this secondary suite, and they launched a court application. One of the homeowners became the plaintiff, and he launched a court application on behalf of the other folks to enforce the, wait for it, restrictive covenant that's registered against all of the titles in the University Heights subdivision. And that restrictive covenant says that you can't have a secondary suite. Only one family is allowed. So, after some negotiation with no result, the homeowner, representing the Community Association of University Heights, and the pensioners who have installed the secondary suite are in court arguing about what should prevail. The restrictive covenant that says you can't have a secondary suite, or the new city bylaw that says secondary suites are now legal if you properly apply and are granted a permit. The homeowner representing the University Heights residents, who are, by the way, united in their opposition to secondary suites, they watch carefully to see who's doing what, and they oppose all business activity or any attempts to get permits. So the homeowner says that the secondary suite is contrary to the restrictive covenant. He wants the court to grant an interim or permanent injunction requiring the owners, the pensioners, to comply with the restrictive covenant, stop any construction on the secondary suite, and stop renting it out. So that's what the homeowners who love the restrictive covenant have got to say. The pensioners, the suite owners, landlords, say there isn't any clear breach of the covenant and that the restrictive covenant has not been enforced previously or was largely ignored, which is an argument. You know, if restrictive covenants are ignored, that's a factor in asking them to be amended or removed. And further, they argue that the character of the University Heights neighborhood has changed, and they say that non-enforcement or change of character of the community render the restrictive covenant unenforceable. So those are the two arguments. And after a lot of back and forth, Justice Anderson said, and I quote, "I find that the applicant, the homeowner, has met all parts of the tripartite," there's a legal word for you, "tripartite test for an interim injunction requiring the respondents," the suite owner landlords, "to comply with the restrictive covenant pending the outcome of trial." Translation, the landlords have to get rid of the secondary suite. But just like in the world of combat sports, where no defeat is the end of the line, and retirement is rarely permanent, Justice Anderson postponed enforcement of the interim injunction for 6 months. Why? Because she said that the suite owner landlords are applying to the court to discharge or modify the restrictive covenant. Plus, they have a tenant with a six-month lease. So, don't want to kick out the tenant. They didn't do anything wrong. So, the interim injunction is postponed for 6 months. So, where does that leave us? First round in this championship fight to City Hall and the flexible new bylaw. But the secondary suite championship belt is still at stake. Does long-time champ restrictive covenant have the endurance to outlast bylaw changes? Or will City Hall pull off a tricky submission to take the title? Well, folks, we're going to have to stay tuned because this is a grudge match that's going to continue on over time. And we'll keep you updated. What do we learn out of this? Number one, and this is a number one diligence item for all real estate purchases, not just this particular situation. If you're going to buy a property, get a copy of the title. Get a copy of the title. Number two, actually read that title. And if you look at the title and it says restrictive covenant, read that restrictive covenant carefully. Now, normally, restrictive covenants don't bother people. If the neighborhood wants to have a particular kind of shingle and siding and landscaping, most people can live with that. But if you want to put in a secondary suite and the restrictive covenant says secondary suites are not allowed, well, that would be hugely important for you. So you have to read titles, and you particularly have to read restrictive covenants. And I guess the last thing is that you have to understand for lesson number three that restrictive covenants are tough to remove or modify. They're very difficult to remove or modify, and they're time consuming. You can't just go down and talk to a city clerk and say, well, you know, nobody likes this restrictive covenant anymore. Why don't we just get rid of it? It's usually a court application. It usually takes a long time because everybody who's affected has to get notice. I mean, if you're talking about a subdivision with 300 lots in it, you have to give everyone in the subdivision who has the restrictive covenant registered against their title notice of the upcoming application or court scenario that may be occurring. And that can take a long time. So time-consuming and expensive, and definitely not guaranteed that just because you apply to change or remove, that will actually occur. So get a title search, read that title search, and then just recognize that restrictive covenants are very difficult to amend or remove. And by the way, this is a great case to read. Some legal cases are, you know, they're pretty tough to read, pretty legalese and intense, but this is only 7 pages long, and it's really informative about how restrictive covenants work. So you can go to http://canlii.ca/tj6fdf, all lowercase. And you can find that in the text edition of this if you can't understand what I'm saying on this audio.
Thanks for listening to Barry Maguire's Tales from the Trenches. And for more valuable investing insights, go to barrymaguire.ca.